Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, empowering you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. Well, ladies, I know that this is Thanksgiving weekend, and it's a very, very busy time. And so I'm so excited that you're here listening to the show today, this Monday, November 23rd, 2015. I want you to know that it is our goal to always bring you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas a huge, huge success. Well, this week, as I said before, is Thanksgiving week, and it's a busy time for women as we prepare for family activities, travel, and taking advantage of the many sales going on during Black Friday. And some of you even have your own Black Friday specials. With all that said, I want to encourage you to carve out some time between now and the end of December to prepare your business for success in 2016. You know, this means that you'll need to take at least a week of about 2 to 4 hours each day, depending on the number of changes you need to make to really develop your business strategy. Now, for anyone who's been listening to Successful Woman Radio at any length of time, you know that I have been gradually increasing my mentioning of the strategy and why the business strategy is so important and why it's so important for us as business women to really look at developing a strategic plan for the year. Now, why is a strategic plan so very, very important? Well, even though you may have a business plan or may even have it thought out in your mind the way you want things to go, a strategic plan shows not only your commitment on paper, but it really becomes your blueprint for how it is all going to happen. How are you going to roll it out, lay it out? How are you going to build it for 2016? And so the strategic plan is more concerned with specifics, okay? And specifics mean, for example, you know, how much money do you want to see for 2016? What are your sales goals? What are your personal income goals? What would you like to get out of it financially, right? And, you know, you have to be very, very specific so that you can create goals that are going to support that. So the strategic plan is so important because without it, it's very, very difficult to stay clear, to stay focused on what it is that you are trying to do. And so I urge you to not allow this year to leave without you planning for your strategy. Now, there is a great article that I wrote on the strategic plan as far as, you know, some things that you need to be thinking about. I also, for those of you that receive our e-news, I sent out an email with the very same article because it's just that important. If you didn't get a chance to read it, I want you to visit womenaboutbiz.com and click on coaching. And once you get on that page, scroll down just a little bit, and maybe in the midsection you'll see an article entitled Developing Your Business Strategy, 3 reasons why strategic planning should be a priority. Now, I know a lot of the times women, we can be so hard-headed. You know, we can say all day long, I know, I know, I know. But I hope there are many of you who are listening to the show today that are ready to embrace being an actionaire with me in 2016. Why is that? Because those of us who take action, who are proactive in planning and preparing, we see results. We are reaching our goals, and we want you to join us. And so, again, normally if you don't pair a strategy, it is going to take you probably about 2 months to 3 months of time, and it can knock you back as much as 6 months from generating revenue in your business. That's a lot, because what that means is that for a whole half year, you won't be generating that much revenue. And so it's important Your strategy, as I said before, is your blueprint. It is the very thing that's going to say, hey, you know, here's how I'm going to market on the web. Here's how I'm going to market offline. These are the marketing collaterals or marketing materials I need to make it all happen. I need a brochure. I need business cards. I need, you know, a 5x8 postcard. Whatever it is that you need. See, all of this is supposed to be worked out in the strategy. And then, of course, when you create an annual strategy, you can break it down into quarters. And then, of course, from your quarters, you break those quarters down into months and weeks. And that's what helps you to understand every day what you should be doing for your business because, you know, you're clear, you're focused on your goal, and you know that because you have planned, everything that you are doing is working towards you accomplishing that overall vision that you actually set for yourself. So, again, I want to encourage you to do your business strategy. Now, at this late date in the year, you may not be able to do a strategy for the whole year, but I think what you can do is you can set the goal that you would like to have as far as what money you would like to see coming into your business for the year so you can set your sales goals. And then you can create a comprehensive list of goals that are going to support what it is that you're wanting to do, prioritize them, and then deal with the ones that you know you need to start running with in first quarter 2016. Again, ladies, you know, show me a business owner that does not plan, and I'll show you a business owner that fails. And so my responsibility as your coach and as host of the radio show is to constantly keep things in front of you to help you do just what this show is all about, and that is be a successful business woman. And so I'm going to shoot straight from the hip with you. I'm going to be truthful, and I'm going to let you know all the things that you need to be doing to be a successful person in your life and in your business. Our show theme during this month, all this month, has been the miracle of self-discipline. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, ladies, it's so much the time for us to buckle our seatbelts and go on the ride of getting real with making things happen in our lives and in our business. Now, today's hot topic is self-discipline and money, and I'll be sharing with you 5 ways to become better disciplined as you manage your money. Also included in today's lineup is I Believe in the Power of Me, which is our overall theme for 2015. I'm going to give you 4 questions that help you to take action and get in touch with your inner power. Also, I'll be sharing with you 5 ways to brand your business using social networking. I know that you're going to like that, so get that pen and notepad out. Also, we have a book excerpt from our book club book of the month, No Excuses by Brian Tracy. If you haven't gotten a copy of that book, listen, I really recommend to you that you have a success library. If you haven't developed a success library yet, you need to. Now, a success library is composed of books, audiobooks, ebooks, reading materials, all kinds of things that you can reach out for that are going to be kind of like your support as you move on the road of success. You can go back to them as often as you want to. And this one book is one that I don't think that you should be without. Brian Tracy's No Excuses, The Power of Discipline is one of the best books that I have read. He tells the truth and he gives you that dose of information that you need, okay? And so I want to encourage you to definitely pick up your copy. Now, I want to let you know a little secret. If you have a Barnes & Noble in your local area, they have this book on sale for about $7.85, I believe. So that's about 50 to 60% off of what this book normally costs. So go pick up a copy. If not, go online to Amazon.com if you have Kindle, and go ahead and download a copy on your Kindle as well. Or if you have audiobooks, download a copy in your audiobooks file. Either way, I'm recommending that you totally read No Excuses. Some people like to choose a book to read over the holiday season because they're going to have time off and they, you know, they just want to read something encouraging to keep them going on. This would be one of those books because it will motivate you to get your behind up and into action. If nothing else encourages you to be an actionaire, this book definitely will. do just that. So I'm so excited about this, you know, this book and reading it to you and reading all of the excerpts that we have had. It's about 10 minutes after 12. You are listening to No Other Than Successful Woman Radio, and I'm Trina Newby, your host and your business success coach. This is such a good time right now to go ahead and to share the show with someone that you know needs encouragement, a friend, a business associate, a family member. Just, you know, flash over on a clear line and just say, hey, look, I just want to tell you right quick, Successful Woman Radio is on. Trina's got it hot and popping today with Self-Discipline and Money. Dial in. Here's the phone number for those of you with a pen in hand, 347-637-2589. That is 347-637-2589. And, of course, for those of you who are listening online from your smart devices, that's your laptop, smartphone, or other device, here is the internet link. It's blogtalkradio.com/successfulwomanradio, spelled all the way out. So you can just go on your favorite social media site and in your news feed, put listen to Successful Woman Radio now. Click on the link, blogtalkradio.com/successfulwomanradio. They can click on that link and it will take them right to the page where the show is on live right now. So I'm so glad that all of you are listening to the show today. It looks like we've got a full switchboard. I'm excited about that. And I'm also excited just about the fact that you have been committed this year in listening to the show and getting the information that you're able to put to use in your life and in your business. Now, I want you to know you can listen to the latest broadcast directly from our website, SuccessfulWomanRadio.com. Now, when you visit the site, just look over in your right-hand column, click on the show you'd like to listen to from the Blog Talk player, and you can do this whether you're on your computer, on your phone, on your notepad or iPad. It works on all of those devices very, very well. Let's go ahead and move forward with I Believe in the Power of Me, four questions to help you gain clarity and encourage you to move forward with your business, with your goals, with the things that you want in life. Here's number one, and this question couldn't be more important as we move towards the end of this year. Am I clear on my vision and what it is that I want to experience? You know, we talk about vision all the time, and it amazes me that there's still so many women that listen to this show that hear how important visioning is and yet have yet to, you know, write their vision. And so I don't know what the hang-up is. I ask myself that question all the time, and I ask others who share with me that they haven't written their vision yet. All I can tell you is that when you don't have your vision, you're not going to be very clear on what it is. But I don't think that you should have to complicate it either. And I think that's where a lot of women go wrong. You know, women have this tendency to think that, you know, oh, I need to write some long, drawn-out, eloquent-sounding paragraph so that when I share it with other people, they will be impressed. Look, forget all of that. We're not trying to impress anyone when we write our vision. So you should keep your vision very simple. As a matter of fact, I recommend that you bullet point your vision. Don't even write in sentences. Just bullet point. Just get straight to the point. Here's what I want to experience for, you know, the rest of this year and for 2016. Here's what I want. Let's stop beating around the bush, okay? And let's stop being unreal with ourselves. Let's work in our true, authentic self and just state, what is it that you want, okay, in your business? What is it that you want in your life? I know for a fact, and I was asking myself this very question, as I am gearing down and have planned and set some time aside in my calendar to plan for my life and my business as I move towards the new year, and I said, you know, I really would like to have a housekeeper. I've had a housekeeper before, and I currently don't have one. And I said, you know, this is a vision. This is something that I see happening for myself. I would like to have a housekeeper. Even though I like to cook, there's nothing wrong with me having someone who can cut up the vegetables, prep the food, have it all ready in the refrigerator to go. I keep the main part of the house clean so I don't have to worry about that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Absolutely. So that's kind of one of my visions that I have on the personal side. Okay, on the business side, out what is it that I would like to have. But I want to share a very special vision or a very special thing that I want to experience in 2016. I want to experience having authentic relationships with women who are very real about being successful and who are very real about developing long-term relationships. You know, one of the things that I have experienced, and I've really experienced this all throughout being in business, is that there are a lot of people who say they want one thing, but they're really not real with themselves. And so because of that, they're really not ready to have a productive long-term relationship. I'm here to tell you that when you're out there networking, when you're doing things and you're developing relationships with people, you're going to meet so many different people with so many different goals. They have so many different things that they're trying to do. And, of course, a large majority of people I have learned are not serious about what it is that they want to do. This is why only 2%, and isn't these statistics sad? Only 2% of people in our country, the U.S., are actually making the largest part of the money. We're only sharing about 20% of the rest of it, okay? And so when you look at it in those terms, it really does put things into perspective because it lets you know that there are that many people that are not pushing forward and moving forward with their goals and what it is that they want to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to contribute to helping that statistic to be lowered. It's ridiculous that only, you know, 2% of people are making the largest majority of the money, and we need to change that statistic really, like, quickly. And to do that, you have to be serious. You have to be ready to make and develop long-term relationships with business women. And what does it mean to have that long-term relationship? And so I say that visioning is very important. I'm sharing with you just one vision that I want. And when you have a vision and when you want to experience a particular thing, don't forget that you have to give of yourself as well as received. Very, very important. Let's move on to number two, and I believe in the power of me. Have I identified habits that are interfering with my success? Again, have I identified habits that are interfering with my success? Well, you know, I would say, hands down, if you really want to know why you haven't been successful in certain things, why you can't seem to push forward, then really it has a lot to do with habits that reside within your subconscious mind. Habits are very necessary because they help us to move forward and take action and do a lot of things without having to, you know, add a lot of complexity to figuring out how to do it. Like, for example, brushing your teeth is a habit. We don't have to really go over the rules about how to properly brush your teeth because it's already been ingrained in us and it's become repetitive. So most of the time, a habit is anything that you have repetitively done, usually anywhere between 7 to 15 times, and it has ingrained itself and your subconscious mind has accepted it as a habit, and it actually replays back the actions of how to do something without you actually having to, in the conscious mind, think about it. Same thing goes with driving and other types of things that we do. So habits are very, very important. But here's what you need to know. The subconscious mind does not positive habits that reinforce what we want and negative habits that work against us. It only receives everything that we put into it, right? And as you know, we can put a lot of funky stuff in our subconscious mind. We can do a lot of stinking thinking, and we can really mess our own selves up. And so we have to be very, very careful about what we put in our minds. As God says, we have to guard our minds, meaning the subconscious mind, what is put in it. So, therefore, you need to identify habits that are interfering with your success because until you know what those habits are and you're ready to be transparent with yourself and admit that these are habits that have been holding me back for weeks, months, years, or for some, even decades, you're not going to see things happen for yourself, okay? Here's number three. Have I created goals and tasks to support my vision? Again, goals are the very thing. They are the cornerstone of manifestation for anything and everything that you want. When you have a vision and you put it on paper, then you must set goals to it in order for you to start getting it done. Goals help to clarify. They help you to accomplish whatever it is that you're trying to do. And then, of course, you take it a step further by supporting those goals with to-do items or tasks. Here's number four. Have I set short-term goals to generate the power within me? Again, have I set short-term goals to generate the power within me? If it's one thing that I know more than any other thing about us as women, and that is we constantly need something to motivate us, okay? I know for a fact that I have seen my whole outlook for the day completely change when I get a new client who has paid me money, or when I have accomplished something that I knew was very tough, but it happened anyway. I see my whole demeanor completely change. What about you? Have you seen the same thing? And so, again, we need to create short-term goals, things that we can accomplish right away, within the next few days, within a week or two, within the next 30 days. Short-term goals for women are really important because they are energizers. They give us energy, they give us encouragement, and believe it or not, they give us conviction. They reaffirm our belief in ourselves and who we are to accomplish the very thing that we set out to accomplish. So short-term goals are very, very important. So as you're setting your goals, ladies, don't set yourself up by setting some goal that's due 90 to 180 days out. That's way too long. Set goals that are short spurt and that you can see accomplished. Even if you're delegating it to someone else, set the goal short enough so it's going to encourage you, energize you, and help you believe more in yourself, stay convicted to accomplish the overall vision, which is so very, very important. There you have it. Four questions to ask yourself to spark your belief in your very own power. You know, it's staying focused on all of this. It's keeping a pulse on what it is that you want in life and digging beneath the surface of life to always be realistic in who you are and what you're doing. That's what's going to help you to be successful. Because when you are more educated are all of these things, you're more willing to take action to change yourself, to improve yourself. So I want to encourage you to keep moving forward and to do all of those things. Very, very important. Again, for those of you that have just tuned in, you are listening to Successful Woman Radio, and this is your host and your business success coach, Trina Newby. You know, I am so excited that I know many of you have probably already registered for our 2015 7th Annual Women's Holiday Extravaganza here in the Atlanta area. But for those of you who haven't, and if you are in and or around the Georgia area, those of you in Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, even D.C., hey, look, it's worth the drive down to come and participate in this special event with us. And I'm going to be sharing more about that event with you in just a little bit. But I want to put it and buzz it on your mind to mark your calendar for Saturday, December 5th, okay? And for those of you who are on the West Coast or you are further north of Georgia, hey, I've been seeing some really good flights on Southwestern Airlines, on Delta. They've been having some really, really good specials. As a matter of fact, from Los Angeles to Atlanta, I saw a $99 each way trip, and I thought that was very good. So, again, check it out. You know, the holiday extravaganza is one of those things that it is worth it. I'm going to be sharing information about it with you a little bit later on in the show today. Right now, I want to go ahead and I want to share with you five ways to brand your business using social networking, okay? Now, social networking and social media are different. So I want to point that out because a lot of people are interchanging it, and it really means something different. So social media, okay, is really a platform in which social networking can be done. So when you hear social media, That does include like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, Blab, all of the Periscope, all of these new platforms that you can use socially online. That is social media. okay? Those are different platforms that you can communicate with people all over the world online. But social networking is a little bit different, okay? Social networking is really the act of developing relationships with two or more people on the social media platforms, okay? And so it's very, very important that you understand that. Branding in and of itself is the technique of using a consistent message, image, or content for the purpose of becoming familiar to those people who are reading your message, that those people that you're trying to develop a relationship with. So when you're talking about branding your business, the reader, those who are reading your messages, must be able to perceive sincerity. They must be able to perceive value and consistency of your information. And once that has been established, then what I call familiar trust will take place. Now, familiar trust simply means that someone has been seeing you, you know, put information out about your subject of expertise all over the internet. And the information that you put out is valid, it's factual because they've tried it, because you've said it was so and they've looked it up or taken your recommendation and it was, and they begin to trust what it is that you put out there, right? And you begin to have followers. You begin to have people that will take your recommendations and even take actions on actions that you ask them to do. So this is why familiar trust is so important. And when you're really, when you are on social media, when you're on the platform of Facebook, of LinkedIn, Twitter, Periscope, all of these social media outlets, when you're using them, that really should be your whole goal, and that is to develop familiar trust. So you should be more concerned with the people that have trust in you online rather than the number of people that have followed you or they're friending you, because not all of those people have familiar trust with who you are and what you do. And here's the proof in the pudding, because you can have 1,000 followers or 1,000 people who are your friends, and you can invite them to an event or you can ask them to do something. And if you only have one or two responses, that lets you know that your the familiar trust that you have built is low. It means that it's not high enough for you to really work with the number of people. So this is why it's so important that you need to understand having 5,000 friends doesn't really mean anything if you can't establish familiar trust and ask those individuals to take some type of action, you know, whether it's to register for an event, whether it's to take a look at a product or a service that you have, or whether it is to visit your website. So again, I want you to keep that in mind as we talk about five ways to brand your business today in utilizing social networking. Because again, social networking is trying to develop a relationship with individuals who are using the social media platforms also so that you can develop familiar trust with them. So here are five ways small businesses such as you can begin to brand their business on the internet. Here's number one, research and discover social networks that fit your target market. Now, I want to clarify this for you because I have a lot of people that ask me a question of, well, how do you know what platforms work? Well, it's not necessarily the platform now that you have to be concerned with. It is the various groups that reside within those platforms. So, for example, take Facebook. When you're on Facebook, you want to go ahead and try to join groups of people that are within your target market, people that are perhaps looking for what it is that you offer. So you want to visit groups and you want to take a look at how the activities of that group. You want to look at, you know, what that group stands for. You even want to contact and connect with the group administrator and let them know who you are and let them know that you're willing to post information and that's more than just about sales or getting business, but you're also willing to help educate as well. So, again, you want to try to really look at those social networks that have a lot of different types of groups so that you can then go and evaluate those groups and see if any of them are related to who you are and what you do. Here's number two, write quality content around the subject as it relates to your business industry. Now, I am seeing a lot of business women make huge mistakes in this area. I know there are a lot of people out there putting a lot of condescending information out about social media, and everybody and their mother wants to be a social media expert these days. I am sharing with you information about social media from my own personal experience. That's the only level that I can share it with you from. And I know what works for me, and my target is women. And since it is, and since most of the time women make up 85% of all purchases, I know that most likely your target is women as well. So with that said, it's important for you to understand that you can't be everything to everybody on the internet. And while sharing some things personally is a good thing, you want to learn how to share it personally where it can relate to your business as well. Okay? Very, very important. So you have to start learning to write quality content. And you can't do this at the spur of the moment. You really need to plan out your social media structure for the whole month. And I have a lot of people say, oh, my gosh, I spend so many hours on social media. Well, first of all, I want to get everybody clear on that, too, okay? When you're on social media, I refuse to believe that you're spending that whole time on social media for business alone. No, what happens is that you get caught in the very thing that we all get caught in, and that is what we term surfing. You begin to surf. You begin to go from one thing to the next, clicking on links and clicking on things, and before you know it, the interest has, you know, has taken you over, and you have been online for 3 or 4 hours every day. But that is not, you can't say that you've been using that kind of time for your business. So if you use a social media manager, for example, like Hootsuite, Hootsuite, if you use a social media manager like Hootsuite, you can pre-schedule all of the things that you want to go out. If you have created a fan page and if you are an administrator of a group, then you can also schedule things on Hootsuite for that group as well. Hootsuite also just recently allows you to also post things on Instagram and pre-schedule things for Instagram as well. So this is something that's very, very important. So don't forget that, okay? So that was number two, write quality content around the same subject as it relates to your business industry. And that is what branding is. Branding is, again, a logo, content, all pertaining to the same thing, maybe a phrase or a slogan that you constantly use, maybe a slogan that you use for yourself, okay? And you're constantly using it. People are constantly seeing it, okay? So, again, when you write quality content and you stay on that same subject as it relates to your business, then guess what? You're creating consistency, and consistency helps you to do what? You've got it. Develop familiar trust in the minds of those who read your information. Here is number three. Create catchy and unique subject titles for your posts. Now, this is very, very important because we all know that titles catch the attention of individuals that read, okay? There's a big difference between buy my product, 3 simple ways to lose 50 pounds in 4 months. Can you hear it? Let me say it again. Here's the difference. Learn the difference. Here's a simple way to say it. Buy my product and lose weight. But here's a better way to say it. 3 simple ways to lose 50 pounds in 4 months. When you say buy my product and lose weight, what you're doing is you're basically just kind of what I call slamming or throwing it to a person and ordering them to do something that they may take as offensive, or they may say, I don't want to buy that. Why should I buy that? But when you have the topic 3 simple ways to lose 50 pounds in 4 months, what you are doing, that statement says, I want to educate you and give you right up front the way to lose 50 pounds in 4 months. You see, ladies, creating unique phrases and titles take time, but start with looking at the subject line and titles that catch your attention, and then you'll be able to learn easier how to brand yourself using titles and information. Here's number four in 5 ways to brand your business using social networking. Number four is ensure that your website is representing your company well, because your website serves as the headquarters online. it is the headquarters that everybody is going to go and check out. So doing things like creating landing pages or separate pages on your website to promote a specific product or service is very good. But simply linking to your website is not going to be enough. When the reader gets to your site, okay, they must be able to be led to the exact thing that you want them to consider. The reader viewing your homepage will not give you the response you're looking for. So that is why when you build your website, you're building your website not for people to just accidentally find it, but you're building your website so that when they do find it, whether it is on purpose or accidentally, you have a cause of action on there that people will be able to go to right away, okay? And then number five, stay consistent with your message, which is so very, very important. I talked about that earlier as we talked about writing quality content around the subject as it relates to your industry. But staying consistent with your message is very important. Branding online totally is all about consistency. That's what branding is being consistent. How many times have we seen the Coca-Cola logo? As a matter of fact, I want you to stop right now and picture the word Coca-Cola in your mind, and you see the logo, right? Well, that is what branding is. But how Coca-Cola got us to be able to do that is because they have repetitively put it in front of us so many times that we know what it is. And so branding is no different. It's important, though, not to be too pushy with your content, but create content that will cause the reader to want more information. Remember, ladies, it's easy to sell someone who feels that they are making a free choice to purchase or inquire rather than someone who feels they're being pressured into something. So I want you to really remember that. Always remember, and that is how a lot of the larger companies are working with people online and offline in commercials, is that they're using what's called psychographic marketing or psychographic persuasion or persuasive marketing. And that is they are putting facts out there in front of the person, putting educational information out there in front of the person without actually being too pushy and saying, get this, buy this now, okay? And so that's very, very important for you to understand as you begin to brand your business. So with that said, I want to ask you a question. Are you really branded from a marketing perspective? Are you prepared to brand? Do you have a logo? Do you have a slogan or a phrase that you use? What do you call yourself? What do people know you as? What kind of information would people who are looking for your type of product or service be looking for on the Internet? What keywords, what phrases are they using? So you have to actually go and look up all of this stuff in order to be a savvy networker on the social media platforms. Very, very important. Last but not least, In branding your business utilizing social media, I would have to say that, you know, that consistency is the most important thing, because if you're not consistent, social media will not work for you. So you're not using social media so people can purchase from you like yesterday. That's advertising, okay? If you want to advertise on the social media platforms, that's different. But if you're trying to establish long-term relationships on social media, then what you need to do is you need to be out front and consistent. And that should be a part of your strategic plan that you're going to develop for 2016, right? Absolutely. So I want to remind all of you of that as you begin to look at how social media is going to pan out for you for the new year. I'm going to go ahead now, and I'm going to go to our bookmark, Book of the Club, No Excuses, The Power of Self-Discipline by Brian Tracy, and I'm going to be reading for you the excerpt from his chapter 12, Self-Discipline and Money, okay? He said, according to the insurance industry statistics, of 100 people who start work at age 21, by age 65, one will be rich, 4 will be financially independent, and 15 will have some money put aside, and the other 80 will still be working, broke, dependent on pensions, or dead, okay? So basically he's saying about only 20% of the people are going to be prepared when they retire. 80 other percent are going to be dependent on the government. They're going to be broke. They don't know whether they're going to get money to live off of. And this is very true. And I hear financial experts talk about it all the time. This is why, you know, yes, you have some people that just want something to do, so they'll go to Walmart and be a Walmart greeter, or they'll go to Chick-fil-A and be a greeter at Chick-fil-A or some of the other stores. I can see that, and that's okay when you just want to do some things with your time. But more than none, most of those older individuals who are there, 65 and older, are there because they can't make ends meet and they're having to work. He says most baby boomers today are planning to work into their 70s. Why is this? It is because they don't have enough money put aside so they can stop working. The primary reason for financial problems in life is a lack of self-discipline, self-mastery, and self-control. It is the inability to delay gratification in the short term, tendency for people to spend everything they earn and a little more besides, usually supplemented by loans and credit card debt. Today, the savings rate in America is too low to achieve financial independence. After a lifetime of work, the average American family has a net worth of only about $8,000. People continue to spend and borrow as if there is no tomorrow. The good news is that we are living in the most affluent time in all of human history. There are more opportunities to achieve wealth and prosperity today for more people and in more different ways than ever have existed in the history of man. It has never been more possible for you to achieve financial independence than right now. But you must make a resolution to do it, and then you must follow through on your resolution. He says the primary reason why most adults have financial problems is not low earning. In their book, The Millionaire Next Door, Thomas Stanley and William Danko show that two families living on the same street in the same size of house and working at the same job can have completely different financial situations. By the age of 45 or 50, the couple in one house will be financially independent, while the couple next door is deeply in debt and having trouble making the minimum payments on their credit card. The reason for this is not the amount of money that they earn. The reason is lack of self-discipline and the inability to delay gratification. Why is this weakness of character so prevalent among the majority of adults in society today? Guess what? He says it goes back to early childhood. When you were a child and you received money, whether it was your allowance or a gift from a friend or relative, the first thing you thought of doing was to spend that money on candy. Candy is sweet. Candy is delicious. Candy fills your mouth with wonderful sugary flavor. You liked candy when you were a child, and you probably could seldom get enough of it. Many children will eat candy until they become physically ill because it tastes so good. As you grew older, he says, you develop what psychologists call a conditioned response to receiving money from any source. Like Pavlov's dog, when you receive money, you mentally salivate at the thought of spending this money on something that makes you happy, at least temporarily. Spending does make you happy for most people. He says when you become an adult and you earn or receive money, this automatic reaction continues. Your first thought is, how can I spend this money to achieve immediate pleasure? When you get your first job, the very first thing you think about is how you can spend not only the money you earn, but also every penny you can borrow on a credit card on clothes, cars, cosmetics, socializing, entertainment, travel, and everything else. So your mental equation of what has gone into your subconscious mind is that if I have money, I must spend it. When you go on vacation to a resort of any kind, you find that the hotels and streets are lined with shops selling useless trinkets, baubles, and trash, plus clothes, artwork, and other items that you would never think of buying at home. Why is this? Well, it's simple. When you are on vacation, you feel happy. You are conditioned. You have a conditioned response to associate happiness with spending money. The happier you are, the more unconsciously compelled you are to go out and spend money on something, or rather on anything. And it is quite common, he says, for many people, when they are unhappy or frustrated for any reason, they go shopping because shopping means spending money equals happiness. Okay? As an adult, whenever you receive your paycheck, a bonus, a commission, an IRS refund, a prize, or an inheritance, the first thing you think about is how can you spend this money as quickly as possible and on as many pleasures as possible. Rewire your responses about money, he says. The starting point of achieving financial independence is to discipline yourself to rewire your attitude towards money altogether. You need to reach into your subconscious mind and disconnect the wire linking spending and happiness. You need to then reconnect that happiness wire to the saving and investing wire. From that moment on, instead of saying, I feel happy when I spend money, you will say, I feel happy when I save money. To reinforce this shift in thinking, open up a financial freedom account at your local bank. This is the account in which you deposit money for the long term. Once your money goes into this account, you resolve that you will never spend it on anything except the achievement of financial freedom. And again, he suggests that you associate happiness with saving instead of associating happiness with spending. And I will be the first to be transparent with you ladies and say I know exactly what that means, because we are in a society where we are brought up on being instantly gratified. Okay, so I don't think it's all our fault, okay, but we are free to make a choice. But unfortunately, in our country, our whole economy is built on the credit system. And as a result, we're teaching our kids and we're teaching ourselves to jump at instant gratification instead of learning to develop a better belief system that supports what you want financially in the long term. So with that said, I want to go ahead and I want to move right into five ways, you know, to help you with being better disciplined with your money and why it's so very, very important. Again, I hope you guys have been having a pen and notepad out and taking some of this good information that I've been sharing with you. So the one thing that I have learned about being self-disciplined with money, and I think for women, remember, women, we are emotional. And so when we want something in the conscious mind, whether it's to be wealthy, whether it's to, you know, make $1 million, make $30,000, you know, sometimes we're building off of emotion, but we don't know what it cost us in time, what it cost us in skill, and all the different things that it's going to take us to make that $1 million or to get those thousands of dollars. And so one of the things that we have to do from an emotional standpoint is that what calms down our emotions and helps our emotions be more realistic is education. We have to constantly be savvy, be in the know about what it is that we want in life. And one of the ways to do that is to really identify what is it that you really believe about money. What did you learn about money as a child? And they've proven a child who grows up in a family where they've been taught that money doesn't mean spend, where money means save, they are able to save. They're more savers. If you grew up in a family like me where you saw your mom, you know, she felt like she couldn't have what she wanted, so she would put a lot of things on, as the old people say, put things on time, which is like a layaway or credit or what have you. And I saw my mom go into debt, getting what it was that she wanted, because she never believed that she would be able to save up enough in a short period of time to have what she wanted. And so that habit ingrained in me when I was much younger. And I can tell you, I really, it came right back around to snap me in my behind more than once or twice. And so I can definitely speak from experience here when I say that you first have to really look at what it is that you believe about money, what your parents taught you about money, what you learned about money in school, what beliefs did you embrace for yourself. And then once you state those beliefs, what you believe about money, you have to say, okay, now has that helped me in my life, or has that hindered me? Has that worked against what it is that I want? Because that's the first thing that you have to correct. And with that said, I want to share these five things with you that I think will help you in becoming more self-disciplined. The first thing, of course, is that, as with anything, and I talk about this a lot, you have to have a system for anything that you want to be successful in, whether you want to be successful in your business, in your finances, in your personal life, in relationships, it doesn't matter. You have to have a system. You know, you need to get over the fact that you have to be structured to get success. Because that is how God designed us. That is how our universe, our world is designed. That is how our bodies are designed. Everything is designed on a system. With that said, here's number one in self-discipline and money. Develop a realistic budget for your household and for your business, okay? And a realistic budget means is that when a woman can see on paper how much money she has to work with and what how much she's going to have to use for groceries, for clothes, for shelter, for all of those different things, when you can begin to budget out, when you're educated, you are going to make wiser choices. Okay? And the same thing goes for a business. You might want a new laptop. You may want a new computer and a new desk and all the bells and whistles and technology, but at the end of the day, is it really helping you to grow a successful business, or do you want it just because of instant gratification? So when you create a budget for your business, when you budget, it might mean that you may have to get a used computer off of Craigslist, or you may have to go to a store and buy a secondhand computer at the pawn shop. That's what it might mean. Realistically, these days, though, computers are selling for so low, you know, you can get one very inexpensively. But I use that as an example to say when you're creating your personal and your business budget, you have to make sure that they're both in alignment with each other. Most importantly, on the business budget side, you really have to make sure that you have budgeted for your salary. I think one of the things that causes women not to be as successful is that they'll run that business and run themselves into the ground, being the laborer in that business, and they're not paying themselves anything. And I'm here to say, I don't care if it's $5. You need to pay yourself, okay, biweekly, every week, whatever. You need to pay yourself, even if it's something minuscule. You need to pay yourself. Here's number two in, you know, disciplining yourself with money. Build a habit of depending on your monthly cash flow. Numbers will never lie to you. And if you want to buy something, if there's somewhere you want to travel or something that you want to do, then it needs to be budgeted. It needs to be planned for. Okay, so you need to build a habit of depending on your monthly cash flow to tell you whether or not that you can do something. Yes, you have to get permission from yourself on a cash flow that you have developed for yourself. And I want you to stay tuned because next year we're bringing out our new program, the Queen of Cash Flow, which is all about, you know, utilizing the cash flow for everything that you do. Here's number three, create new beliefs that support your financial goals. Again, create new beliefs that support your financial goals. I can't tell you how important this is. I've talked about it before in the very beginning as I started giving you these ideas, these tips on self-discipline and money, but a lot of us have belief systems that are not supportive of what it is that we want to do. And then we wonder why we can't accomplish something or why is it that I can never get above a certain level. I'm telling you, it all has to do with that subconscious mind of yours. And you need to understand that your habits, your beliefs, everything that you want to do in life, 95% of it has to do with your subconscious mind. So until you get control of your subconscious mind and until you get control of what you believe about a certain thing, then you are going to keep spinning your wheels. And that's why it's so important to really understand that what you believe about money has a lot to do with your success and how you are running your business, how you're financially managing your company as well. So create new beliefs that support your financial goals. So very, very important. Number four, establish a no-touch savings account. And this is what we just listened to in Brian Tracy's book, No Excuses. Establish a no-touch savings account and deposit weekly in it no matter how small. If all you had was 50 cents, walk up to the counter and put in 50 cents. If all you have is a dollar, walk up to the counter and put a dollar. But if you have $50, $100, or, you know, let's say you had unexpected work from a client that and they paid you for it right away, you might be able to put some money in your no-touch savings account. With that said, I'm going to move right on into number five, which is give yourself a pleasure allowance. So I also say, have a savings account that's your pleasure account. This is where you put money into that account for the whole purpose of being able to do some of those things and gratify yourself and have pleasure from spending. But you plan for it, right? So that's very, very important. You plan for it. So I don't know how old all of you who are listening, but I remember when I was coming up at about 18, 19, 20 years old, the banks used to have a special program for those who wanted to start saving for Christmas. And somewhere around June, you could save for your Christmas account, or you could save all year for it, and you would put it in a savings account that had somewhat of a little bit higher interest. The bank would compound it, and, of course, at the end of the year, you could either have a check sent to you from the bank of what's in the savings account, or you could withdraw from it. And the bank used to even have specials, like if you don't withdraw from it and you just hold it, we'll even give you different types of bonuses and stuff. So it's the same concept in giving yourself a pleasure allowance, okay? You first set up a separate savings account just for a pleasure allowance, and you keep adding money to it. It could be $1, $2, $3, $4, what have you. So you make a decision, for example, of how much of all money's coming in will go to your no-touch savings account, how much money coming in will go to your general income, how much money coming in will go to your pleasure allowance, which might be 2-3%, a percentage. It depends on how much money you make. But you make that. You plan for it. That way you can feel good with knowing this is my guilty pleasure. This is my pleasure allowance. And I actually have planned for it, and it is not impacting my no-touch allowance. It's not impacting my income because I've planned for it. But doing these things will help you to have better discipline, and they will help you not to overspend. And I hope that some of these things that you will take to heart. But out of all of this, I would like to say, remember, if your beliefs do not support what it is that you want financially in your life, you will not make it happen. Your subconscious will work against you in accomplishing it. And so this is why you need to guard your mind. Be very careful, my sisters, about what you are allowing to come into your mind and overrun you. The subconscious mind, okay, if you did not know, accounts for over 95% of all things going on with your body, mentally, physically, or spiritually. So you need to keep that in mind and understand why it's so important that you in the now, meaning in the conscious mind, know how to put the good things into your subconscious mind, how to guard your mind, and how to make sure that your belief system is supporting what it is that you want in your life and in your business. And at the end of the day, you will have what it is that you want if you can gain control over those things. Last but not least, we only have a few minutes left in the show, and I want to go right to some great things that we've got going on over at womenaboutbiz.com, okay? I want to go ahead and remind all of you that coming up on December 5th is our teleclass, The Savvy Networking Woman, 10 Ways to Master the Art of Networking. That is not the 5th. The 5th is extravaganza. That is the 2nd. So that's that Wednesday before the extravaganza at 12 noon Eastern time. Again, it's The Savvy Networking Woman, 10 Ways to Master the Art of Networking. And then we have our holiday extravaganza, our 7th annual extravaganza on Saturday, December 5th from 9 to 5 at the Doubletree Hotel, off of 285 and Olympic Road in Atlanta. So I'm excited. We've got a lot going on for the extravaganza. We have some wonderful speakers that are going to be there on our Wise Women's panel. We have Pamela Alexander. We have Donna Satchel. We just got awesome women that are going to be there on that Saturday. And so, of course, I want to encourage you. Also, we are giving out the 2016 the 2016 Strategic Planning Guide, which we only give out during this particular event. So, again, you've got to be there to get it. And this year we've really beefed it up. And we're giving you forms. We're giving you some new information. Really, really excited about that. Also, we have our Women's Holiday Expo going on all during that day as well. So this is a wonderful event where women come together to declare success for 2016. So, again, I want to recommend to you, if you have not registered, to go to womenaboutbiz.com, and you'll see it right there on the front page, the Holiday Extravaganza. Well, ladies, we've come to the end of the show. I've enjoyed being with you today, and I pray that the information shared has motivated and inspired inspired you to move forward with your dreams and goal and to become the successful woman that you were meant to be. Tune in next Monday, November 30th, as we continue with our November theme, self-discipline, the miracle of self-discipline. I want you to have a beautiful and productive week and happy Thanksgiving. Love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.